Texas. This is Big Ideas Small Business with Laura Cameron and Brian Gendron. And you're listening to the music of Houston local Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
Morning today.
It is morning,
we
Laura.
We normally do it in the afternoons.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, this is Big Ideas Small Business Morning Edition. It's a Thursday morning and a beautiful weather here at Rice University.
Yeah, the weather's gotten really nice here in Houston.
We tried to do it outside, but of course they are inevitably always landscaping here at Rice.
I don't know how you can landscape that much. I mean, I guess that's why the campus is so beautiful, but...
So this was meant to be an outside edition, but oh well, here we are, and we're glad you can join us today.
Yeah.
So today, what are we going to talk about, Laura?
Did you ever watch that movie Cinderella when you were a kid?
I did. Not only that, but I think there's a newer version that just came out that
I
should probably watch with my son. I think he might like it.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, my sister and I used to watch it all the time. It was, you know, the Happily Ever After, and, you know, it seems like all the Disney movies have that whole Happily Ever After thing going on.
Such a romantic idea. Such a romantic idea.
You know, yeah. I think we get spoiled with it. It's like, you see a movie that doesn't have that, and you're like, oh my god, how could they do that?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, today I want to talk about how the Cinderella story relates to business. You know, basically, you know, it seems like a lot of business owners really, they focus on their product. They get really happy about their product.
Absolutely.
Or their service, whatever it is. They're like, yeah, I've got this great product. I've got this great service. You know, I want to tell everybody how awesome it is. And I want to tell them what it does. And I want to tell them how it works. And, you know, what does Cinderella have to do with this?
Sure.
So, what Cinderella has to do with this is people want to buy the Happily Ever After. So, your product or service is solving some challenge for them. Before they have your product, they may not even know it exists. Maybe you do have the best product. Maybe there really is a market for it. But people might not even know it exists. And they have some sort of a before state that's not really a happy before state. So there's the before and the after in a happily ever after. You have to have the before to be happily ever after.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, your customers don't come to you because everything's perfect in
right.
the world. They come to you because there is a need, and that's a critical part of the marketing and sales positioning of your products, is that you have a product that can fulfill that need.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so you want to paint for them the rosy after state. You want them to see the experience that they're going to have after they have your product.
And we do that a lot with our marketing imagery, right?
Yeah.
We kind of position this picture of our ideal customer consumer with the hero text next to it, you know, of them happily enjoying your product or enjoying life after your product, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of branding is even, you know, all about the experience. You know, Apple computers, you go into the Apple computer store and everything's clean and white and high tech looking. And
duplicated by the Microsoft store, like Microsoft always tends to do, right?
Uh-huh.
Just take that concept of others and build on it.
Yeah, you walk into Starbucks and it feels warm and relaxing and, you know, that sort of.
It's also consistent. You know what you're going to get. That's part of their product, right?
Yeah.
That's why they can charge what they charge for their coffee.
Yeah.
Right?
When I help a customer craft their, you know, their value that they're offering, you know, it's basically about looking at the before state and understanding, okay, what is that client experiencing in his or her before state that, you know, isn't really maybe super happy or isn't as good as it could be.
It's you're the maid for your awful stepsisters, right?
Yeah.
Is this the right story?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, it's been a while. Right.
Yeah. So,
and they want to go to the big ball.
Right. So you're there scrubbing, you know, like client A is there scrubbing the floors and, you know, super unhappy and playing with mice and whatever it is. Right. You know, they're not going to the ball. This is a problem, you know. They can't meet the prince if they don't go to the ball. Mm-hmm. The after state, they went to the ball. They had an amazing time. They met the prince. Life is awesome. You know, so how do you do that for your customer? I like to break it down into four categories. And those categories are, what do they have, is the first thing. So in the before state, Cinderella doesn't have...
In her case, it's what...
Doesn't go to the ball.
Yeah, what do they have, or I guess conversely, not have.
Right.
Right.
Well, so yeah, they don't... Like Cinderella in that example doesn't have the prince. She doesn't go to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
How do they feel is the next thing. Cinderella doesn't feel special.
Right.
She does not feel rich and special and like her stepsisters.
Mm-hmm.
And the next category is the average day. In the before state, Cinderella is toiling away, broken fingernails, dirt all over her hands, and she does not feel pretty.
and just thinking through that, you know, it becomes, you know, when a customer has a need, at first it's kind of, you know, it's kind of bothersome, I can't get this thing done. And then over time,
yeah,
it really builds, you know, enough average days go by, and it becomes enough of a problem where you need,
yeah,
to take action. You're willing to pay to make whatever it is go away or,
yeah,
get to that different state, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last category that I help customers with is the status level. If you can change a customer's perceived status, that's huge.
Sure.
And that's the icing on the cake.
Yeah, I mean, and that instantly went to automobiles, right? You know, if you've always driven Toyotas and now you can drive a Lexus, now you have a certain status on the roadway, right? You know, that's certainly an area where status becomes obvious. And
yeah.
In the auto industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, so you're trying to take the client from the before state where, you know, they're Cinderella not going to the ball, and you're trying to help them go to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're trying to help them have the vision of going to the ball.
Yeah, and I think the other thing we talked about before we came online was the not just go to the ball once, but go every year,
yeah,
right? And how do they continue to experience that through your services and products?
Right. And that was, that's another good point. You know, we've talked before about, you know, comparing the customer experience to dating.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once you get them to that level where they do become a customer, you know, that's not the end of the road.
Right.
You know, if Cinderella gets the prince, you know, he's not just going to be like, oh, or she's not going to just be like, oh, okay, great, you know, I got the prince, we'll see you later. You know, it's
right.
Now it's time for date night and time to bring flowers and time to have a romantic dinner, like, you know, and that should, if they get married, continue to go on for the rest of their lives. That's not like... you know, oh, now I got the prince, I'm done.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you hear a lot about it today, having a customer-centric focus, not
mm-hmm.
a product-centric focus, is kind of what,
yeah,
what we're starting with here. And you know, customer-centric is, you know, responding to your customer's needs,
yeah,
understanding what their likes, dislikes, and needs are,
mm-hmm.
and continuing to innovate and adapt to what your customers need to,
exactly,
to continue to go to the ball every year.
Exactly. Yeah, and so if anyone's ever, you know, kind of studied marketing, we have what's called a unique selling proposition, or USP. And the USP, which is, you know, is really product-centric. It's basically, say, Starbucks. You know, we have the best coffee for everyday people, because it's fair trade, it's stronger, and available on every street corner. Those are all features and benefits.
And you have to have them, by the way. It's important, you know, to have your market position to have a set of features and benefits.
Right. That's correct. Features and benefits are good, but that's not why people buy.
Correct.
So the reason people buy is the value and the experience and the result that you're bringing. So what we have, and, you know, I believe in this more strongly as something to, you know, where you get your communications from with your customers, the statement of value. And the statement of value, instead of listing features and benefits of, you know, this, you know, I have this product and it's really awesome because it can go 5 times faster and it's blah, 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 you know. Statement of value is all about the client. So it's my product or service allows the customer to experience something. So, you know, maybe for Starbucks in that instance, it's Starbucks coffee allows the customer to have a more relaxing and enjoyable day.
Yeah, and that's right. And there's in some ways, they're kind of two different things. The actual value of your products, they're important to you because they're your products. Mm-hmm. Then there's the perceived value, which is really what wins out every time.
Yeah.
And that's what your customers think the value is and what the customers are getting out of it. And by the way, perceived value can be different for different customers and different segments of customers,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you're trying to appeal to a broad audience, or if your product does appeal to a broad audience, like Starbucks does, then you know you need to have different value for different people.
Right.
So for the employee or the worker bees like us that are running businesses that prop up in Starbucks, where we need reliable internet, right?
Or caffeine.
And plus caffeine is value to us. Maybe to somebody who is you know in retirement, you know they just want to go with a quiet place to read the paper or read the newspaper.
Yeah.
So the value changes. They probably just want a quiet area with. I mean, we both want that, but they don't care as much about the internet, and maybe don't even care much about the caffeine. They just want to get out of the house and read the paper.
Yeah.
So you know, then those are just two examples of many of perceived value. You know, it's the same product, but you know the perceived value is different for different people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I brought this. So were we going to do tech for granted?
Yeah, we were. So just any other closing thoughts on the unique selling proposition or anything else that we want to leave our people with as they think about these things?
You know, I think I'm okay. I need to go get ready for the ball.
I would just say, you know, as you're developing your products, you know, empathy. Put yourself in the client's shoes, customer's shoes, and potentially more than one customer.
Or their glass slipper.
And really try to, you know, and another thing is if you're, especially like in the services industry and you're coming up with pricing's another big thing. Is, you know, you can add in a number of things to your offering that may appear and appeal to different people as value. I mean, to you, they're free.
Yeah.
You, and you know they're free, but the more you stack in there, the more potential you have some value for somebody to grab onto.
Yeah.
I'm evaluating a coaching service right now with one of my clients. She's not sure if she should do it. It's $400 a month. You know, there's an expense to it. And, you know, she's going through this looks, you know, this newsletter service might be a lot of value. And they train my staff. And, you know, I'm just like, okay, is that enough? Is that $400 worth of value? Does the value justify the cost?
Mm-hmm.
And so just be thinking about, that's how your customers think through things.
Exactly.
And and use that as you develop your products, your brand, your company. And try to stay in that value game for your customers and be customer centric. So tech for granted, this is a fun one. So this is something you brought to my attention.
So speaking of statements of value, there is a service that can help you get some of the training that you need to learn how to do a statement of value for your for your company or your business. And learn how to do a whole lot of other things too. They're called Digital Marketer, and they have some 20 or more training courses that you can actually get certifications in different types of digital marketing. So, you know, things like social media or content marketing or email marketing or how to build sales funnels. You can actually you can go through, or you can send a staff member, you know, sign up. But if there's somebody in your business that you have kind of in charge of doing your social media, but you want them to be more skilled at it, or if you have always thought, well, maybe I need a sales funnel, but I don't really know what it is, then maybe I should learn more about that. They have basically a database of these courses, and it's called Digital Marketer HQ, and you can actually subscribe to it and go through these courses. They're maybe about like 6 to 8 hours each course or so, and just get a little more of the background that might help you in your business to grow.
Yeah, I hear a couple things. So I was able to go sign up. They have a 14-day free trial, right? Yeah. So something worth kicking the tires on, or maybe you just want to brush up on a couple courses and knock them out within a 14-day period and take it for free, or maybe you fall in love with it over that time.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I was in a class yesterday with a bunch of business owners, and I do fairly well with marketing, but a lot of people struggle in these areas, and this is a great way for you yourself, or to, like Laura said, delegate. So one of the things I saw, just kind of kicking the tires on it yesterday, was that you could really set your staff.
Yeah.
You could set up their curriculum, if you will, and then track their progress over time.
Yeah.
Set them goals. So it's a great way to not just get yourself on board, but also bring your entire staff up to speed with sort of modern marketing techniques and courses and certifications.
Yeah. And of course, if you're new in your business, it's really great because, you know, a lot of new business owners are looking to learn a whole lot of stuff really quickly, and I think it's a great way to just go in there, you know, go through a couple courses, and it'll just help point you in the right direction.
Yeah, as we turn the clock and we move towards the end of 2017, moving into 2018, trying to figure out what you can do better and differently in 2018, this might be a good place to start.
Yeah,
really get your hands around marketing. You know, certainly spawn some new ideas.
Yeah.
I think this is a good time investment, and possibly a good investment into your business.
Yeah. And I actually liked it so much. I'm becoming a digital marketer certified trainer. Uh-huh. So I can actually train and certify people in the courses. And
wow.
So I'm really excited about that. That's pretty cool.
So what, just to dive a little deeper, because again, I haven't been able to explore quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the courses that we can expect in it?
Conversion funnel mastery, that's all about sales funnels and you know, how to think of the, you know, I mean, that even includes the statement of value. That's really a great place to start.
Mm-hmm.
Email marketing, content marketing, social media marketing. They have a module on e-commerce.
A lot of you guys should hit that social media marketing.
I know
tons of people struggle with it.
Yeah.
Especially y'all north of 50, saying, you know, and admittedly so, I don't get that stuff, or, you know, if you're under 30, you take it. Really, you know, just spend the time to get acquainted with it, understand how it works. This might be a great place to do that.
Yeah, I think so.
And certainly, if you prefer the human interaction, well, it sounds like Ms. Camrath's going to be an instructor, so maybe somebody you could talk to.
Yeah, no, I'd be happy to talk to you if you're looking to talk to a real human.
Very good. But the courses themselves are online, self-paced, if you wanted to go that route as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Very good. I prefer human interaction, classroom. Mm-hmm. That's where I do my best learning.
Mm-hmm.
But some people do kind of like the self-paced, crack open a laptop, knock it out when you have time. So you've got, I guess, both options.
Yeah. So.
Well, good deal.
Cool.
Well, along the same lines of digital marketing.
Yeah.
We have,
speaking of digital marketer, I actually was surprised to learn that this book existed. Digital Marketing for Dummies. There's, you know, all kinds of For Dummies books out there. I guess I just never thought to look for one on digital marketing, but I was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. The book's by Ryan Dice and Russ Henneberry, who are the founders of Digital Marketer. which is kind of cool. That's why I picked this book.
It all makes sense. Yes.
So, but this really is a cool book. It's just, it's almost like a really, you know, quick and dirty, pared down, just awesome sort of manual on how to do a whole bunch of different things with your digital marketing. You know, and it's just really easy to understand. It's easy to go through. It makes a whole lot of sense. And I highly recommend it for anyone who's just like, okay, you know, I need to either beef up my digital marketing, I need to do some new things, or maybe you're just getting started and you just really need to kind of get a quick understanding of how everything works and what you might need to do for your business.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, as a sales professional for so many years, these dummy books have really saved my ass. It's a quick way to get through. And this is a thicker than the normal one. I like the little yellow kind of cliff note versions. What's good about the books is that they're full of pictures.
Yeah.
Written in plain English, written for dummies. Yeah. And not calling myself a dummy, but, you know, I've got, as a salesperson, you've just got, you know, your role is mostly focused on the relationship, and it's hard. You know, I work in technology, and changes evolve so fast. So, I mean, even something when I was first starting out in technology, virtualization for dummies, it was a great pickup and a great read just to get up to speed on a Saturday and then start Monday selling quickly because I was able to pick up some of the key concepts. So don't knock it or feel above the fact that it's for dummies. This is good. It's usually very good content.
Yeah. So just to go over, like, you know, briefly, it says, inside, generate free organic traffic, acquire new leads and customers, craft landing pages that convert, build and monetize your email list, get social with your customers, buy online ads like a pro, master search marketing, and track and measure key metrics. So doesn't that sound spiffy?
Yeah, I mean, all those things are so important. And the last one really rang true for me, track key metrics. You know, I'm going through an exercise right now to understand, you know, just how effective my marketing has been in 2017 and really trying to dive deep and get into the numbers. Because here's the thing. I mean, in today's marketing landscape, it's so much data driven. Yeah. It's data backed.
Yeah.
And so you can do it in real time. But it's also good to kind of proactively go back and look. So I might grab that book from Laura and at least visit that chapter if she's willing to let me borrow it. And as I go through that exercise.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And it does look like it's, you know, this, given the girth of it and sort of all the topics that it covers, you know, maybe it's not a pick up and read this book.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, I would say you could pick it up and read it. I kind of did. But,
you're a marketing geek.
Yeah, kind of a geek.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really easy just to flip to the section you want to read.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, it's certainly something good to have on any business owner might want to have on their shelf. And if you can't get over the dummy thing, turned around so all the people can just see the pages on your bookshelf, not the bookend.
Yeah.
So, well, I this has been fun.
Yeah.
Again, it's Big Ideas, Small Business with Brian Gendron and Laura Kamrath. Live on a Thursday morning.
Live from Rice University.
From Rice University. So everybody have a great rest of the week, great weekend, and go out and close some more business.
Yeah. All right.
Central Texas rains, the strongest drink I've found.
Thanks for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Please visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.